there, it's Tracy Tully, and you're listening to Tracy Tully Talks at bbsradio.com, the place to be right now, streaming live with another 60 minutes of thought-provoking topics, sharing with you conversations that are relevant today, tomorrow, and in the future. Join me each week on Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Australian time, AEST, 5 p.m. Wednesday PT, hello Los Angeles. If you missed the live show, jump onto your favorite podcasting platform and you'll find me on Tracy Tully Talks. We do have some adult language, so if you have some little ones around, pop on your earphones. Hello and welcome to BBS Radio Tracy Tully Talks. What a lovely week it is for me this week. My mother has turned 90, so it was a great celebration. And last year, she became an author and published her first book, and it was called Come Fly With Me on a DC-3. And there's an SBS program out, Come Fly With Me. So it's very, very pertinent, and I'll interview her eventually down the track. But in the studio today, we have a guest who is also an author, and I'd like to introduce you to Zelda Marsh. Zelda is the author of a book called Bounceability, Reclaim Your Power and Passion After Divorce. And I'm just going to hold it up there. There's Zelda, and she's with us today. So have you ever been knocked down by life and need to bounce back to be happy? Have you ever had suicidal thoughts and lost your will to live because of someone else's behavior? Do you feel you've lost everything and everyone in your life? Struggle with co-parenting and having problems with forgiving and letting go? Well, this was our guest once upon a time, but not now. Zelda is the business owner and founder of Manifest Merriment After Divorce. Welcome to our studio, Zelda.
Thank you, Tracy. What a wonderful introduction. I think I need to take you around with me more often. Thank you for that very much.
Oh, that's my pleasure. I can be your swing tag, yeah, wherever you go. Your branding specialist.
I'd love that. I would love that.
Yeah. Lovely to have you on board. I was wondering if you could share with the listeners where you're from originally, because you obviously don't have our Australian accent. So tell our listeners all about yourself.
Okay, so I am Zelda Marsh, and yes, you was correct, I am not from Australia. I'm from the northeast of England. I'm from a town called Grimsby. It's a fishing town, and yes, as in the title, it can be very grim. However, it was life as I knew. I knew no other until I escaped, basically. So anyway, so who am I? So firstly, I am a mum, and I'm a mum to three adult children who all have children of their own. I am a nanny to 10, could you believe it, 10 grandchildren. So we definitely have done our bit for the world. I have grandchildren in England, Australia and Japan. So we're very multicultural in our family, so we spread our love all over. I am a wife for the third time. And I don't know if I want to go with the third time lucky, but I'm certainly holding out to the way I am now as a person. I definitely have hopes of a successful marriage this time. I'm a healer. I've always healed one way or another, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about that further down. And I'm an author, as you know, to the book Bounce Back Ability. That's because I've always had the ability to bounce back from any given situation. And I'm a nature lover in any way, shape or form. So that is basically who I am right now.
And you're heading back to nature now because you've left the big city and you've bought a farming land at Merrivale, and you're getting ready to build a home. So you're going to have lots of chooks and animals?
No. Sorry, that was very blunt, wasn't it? No, yeah. I'm all about the vegetation. I I don't eat meat, I don't eat dairy, and I just want to grow my food. I just want to know what's going in. I'm passionate about food. I'm a big believer that food heals you. What goes in makes you shine or makes your body be how we live our life, I feel. So I'm big on food, as you can see. I love cooking. I love to keep everything as organic as I can. I'm all about being natural, you know, just being natural and taking from the land, and what you give comes back to you. So no, there's going to be lots of vegetables, lots of flowers, lots of lavender and healing plants. You know, I'm all about having all the beauties around me, not the animals. I've got a dog and birds. I have a galah. So I love my parrots and I love my little puppy dog. No cows.
Oh, no pigs.
No pigs. Look, if it was up to my husband, we'd have horses and we'd have cows and heifers and all the rest of it, as he calls them. But I'm sorry, it's just not how I envision my future.
And they're a lot of work, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm all for, you know, I'm all for a lovely balance. You know, my husband can eat as many cows as he likes, but I'm not having them to kill to eat. That's just not for me. And he's happy to go out and buy his meat. We had a compromise.
Fair enough, too. Well, I know that you're an author of Bounce Back Ability. You're also a businesswoman, entrepreneur. So tell us what exactly it is that you do, Zelda.
To narrow it down, I heal. I heal. And I know healing means very much different things to different people, but it's about healing. And for me, I help women find their personal power. And by doing this, I listen. And a lot of people think they're good listeners, and I tell you now, they are not. I know I am, because I give them that space to think about what they're feeling, think about what's going on, and I take them to a deep journey, sometimes a very difficult journey, to find out what the true cause of their today issues really are. You know, most of them think they want to heal from the divorce, and do you know what, quite often that is not the case. Quite often it's something that's happened to them or arose at a very past time that's brought them to the pattern of this maybe toxic relationship or a behavior they've adapted within themselves, that they thought it was their marriage that was a problem, and quite often it's not. So we dig deep. And what do we do? So when women go through a divorce, now it's not the same as ending a normal relationship. When you've been married, you become, I mean, you're married, you know what it's like. Your life, both your lives become one. So your family is one big family. Your social life becomes one big mix of people, you know. Your children are all, you're all one entity. So when you divorce, not only do you just end that partnership, you know, your children are torn between, you know, the husband's family, because quite often they don't want to know the wife's family anymore, and your friends are divided, and you know, sometimes like you lose a home, you lose a lifestyle, you just lose everything that you knew. And that has a massive impact on anybody, never mind, and it's not just women. Men go through the same emotions, you know, we go through the same losses. However, women, as much as we put on this beautiful mask of being strong and I can cope, we don't always do it the right way. We don't always, you know, we're good at self-sabotaging. We're good at losing who we really are. And what I do is I help people create new friends, create new ways of finding out who they are, learn to love and embrace who they really are now, because they're never, ever going to be who I was once. You know, I want to get back to who I was. She's gone. You know, she's evolved. She's learned so many life skills, so many valuable lessons from being in this married life, and she has to start again. So I help women to embrace that and get through that. And it's not an easy task. It's simple, but it's certainly not easy, and it's very emotional. So you have to have that compassion to be able to work with these women to get them through that. It's a big job. I love it.
I like the way that you brought up the elephant in the room by saying that a lot of women will hide, will camouflage their pain, and they can quite easily through makeup, the way they dress, the way they do their hair. This is not being derogatory or anything. No. This is actually, now I'm a woman, I know these things. They can become another character almost, can't they? Through makeup and clothing and hair, they can take on another characteristic to hide.
Yeah, absolutely. Many women will hide behind their careers, hide behind their children, get into another man to get over the man. I've worn that T-shirt so many times. You know, we're searching for something or hiding behind something. But that's just a defense mechanism. That's our healing. That's how we feel that we can cope. Until we know other ways, you know, until you find what the actual thing is you're hiding from, you don't know how to escape that. You don't know how to get away from that. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, we do the best with what we know, you know. We don't know any different.
That's right. So, and it's just the way we've been brought up, isn't it? It's that journey from life. So whomever were our original role models taught us how we should feel about ourselves, or failed to teach us how we should feel about ourselves. And your business is in empowerment and passion after divorce, post-divorce. Yeah. So you have obviously been through a divorce, and this has prompted you to start this business.
Well, yeah, I've actually been divorced twice, and I have been, and I am not exaggerating, I'm not ashamed of it anymore. I've been in hundreds of failed relationships. And you think, for me, My personal journey, I mean, I was always looking for love. At the end of the day, and that's what we all do. And again, another part of what I do is many of us women forget who we are. We know we're a mum, we know we've been a wife, we know we're a colleague, we know we're all, but we actually don't know who we are anymore. We forget that there's a us in here. And that's where I come in. That's my main passion about this job, is to get women to actually learn who they are again, and learn to love themselves unconditionally and be authentic and love the fact that they are whoever they are. You know, love yourself, you know, work from your heart. And I've always been one of these. I remember being criticized, if you like, and judged for wearing my heart on my sleeve, you know, and always seeing the best in people. And do you know what? I felt bad about that for a long time, and I have now learned that, yes, do you know what? Yes, I do. And yes, this is me. And yes, I'm proud of that now, because it's not me that should worry about being heart-centered. If people are judging me for that, then they need to look at their own heart. Because if that's a bad thing, then I'm sorry, but their hearts are clouded, and they need to find that love to be able to embrace that themselves. That's how I feel now. So I'm proud to wear my hat on the sleeve. I absolutely am.
And people need to have that that model in front of them to know that it's okay. Now, I teach public speaking as well as mindset, and I always say the statistics for the number of people who hate and are embarrassed and are scared of public speaking, it's huge. So it's a lot of people. So it's the norm. Yeah, that's right. And likewise, we know the divorce rates are high, and Australia is no different to the US and probably England as well, and other countries. And some of the countries that do currently have the highest divorce rates are quite surprising for us. But you and your business is really unique. Can you tell your listeners why you are unique?
I'm unique because of me, really, because of my authenticity, because I hold no bars, if you understand what that statement means. I get to the nitty-gritty. I'm not afraid to tell you what I feel because, okay, I'm going to put it out there. I have this amazing intuition. I admit I haven't always listened to it, but I'm psychic. I have psychic abilities, but my intuition is never wrong. I just, for a lot of years, did not listen. So I use this. This is why I'm unique, because I sense one of my massive powers is I have a great BS radar. I know when someone's lying. I know when someone's not being honest and truthful to themselves, and I will dig that out. Look, in a heartful way, of course, you know, and it's just that I have a raw approach. I have compassion. You know, if you've been through a situation, 9 times out of 10, you guarantee I've been there. I've felt it. I've lived it. You know, there's been lots of traumas in life. Lots of women go through different traumas, different life experiences. I've probably lived it. And this is why I say I bounce back and I teach them through my own experiences how to do that. Do you know what I mean? And I am vulnerable. I'm open to my vulnerabilities. You know, I'm no longer, should I say, afraid to share my own heartfelt, you know, my own emotions, my own mistakes, you know. And I would never, ever expect anybody to do something I would never do myself or I haven't done myself already. I wouldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I just wouldn't feel right. So that is why my business is very different, I believe.
And tell me, do you help men and women or only women?
My niche is women. Mm-hmm. However, I do help men as well, yes. Mm-hmm. My book is predominantly for women. But a lot of men have this belief that men, and look, and I'm not wrong, you know, there's a lot of men helping men, as there's a lot of women helping women. Some men listen to women better than they listen to men because of the competitive masculine energy thing, and that's fine. I'm open to either. My niche is women, my market is women. However, I've got the heart space for both, if I'm honest. Yeah.
Lovely. Now you've got 10 children, was it?
No, I have 3 children.
3 children, 10.
I actually have 9 living grandchildren. Yeah,
that's right. 1 grandchildren.
Yeah, we're busy.
So, good on you. So you've got 3 children that have been through this journey with you. Tell me, how have they come out the other side?
Remarkably well, considering. I mean, I won't lie, my youngest son, he has 5 children to 3 different women, so he's been through 3 different relationships, and look, I get on well with all 3, you know. I still have some input, I still see the grandchildren growing, and they're all in England, and it makes it difficult, but, you know, they've been through the mill, and I understand. My youngest one has a different view on life. Again, that is his choice. And my daughter, she is my rock. She is the most beautiful woman on the planet. And I'm so proud to have raised her and to see how she has turned out to be a beautiful woman. And do you know why? I never once used my children as a pawn. I never called their father. I may have said things now as an adult, but you know, when they were growing up, I never once said anything bad about their father or their stepfather, you know what I mean, because they went through two marriages until they were adults with me, and a third relationship, which is all in the book. You know, I talk about how it was when we left their father, when I remarried and they had 2 fathers, so their life was split between 2 families. And then when that ended and I had a relationship, and I said to my then partner, you know, I need someone for me, not my children. You know, they have their dad, they have their stepdad, and that is all well. And, you know, be very careful what you wish for, because that's all I got, and it was awful. My children had no relationship. I had 2 relationships. I had a relationship with my living partner, and my relationship with my children, and it was horrendous. So my chapter in my book, Sharing is Caring, it tells you all that. So I know what it's like in all circumstances where that's concerned. And my children, yes, there's been challenges. I'm not going to say it's been perfect. I've done the best with what I knew. But I always protected my children because of my upbringing, which, again, a little bit is in there. My parents were also divorced, again, repeating patterns. This is what happens to us. I can now recognise that, but I never did in my own marriages. I never realised that I was just doing what my parents were doing, which, again, is another journey. Yeah.
Repeating patterns is something that is quite prevalent, isn't it? And I'm listening to you talk about your youngest, who has started, probably, if we're honest, repeating that pattern.
Absolutely.
Or he could see that he's made a decision that wasn't the best decision, and he's made the choice to get out of it really quickly. So there's no right or wrong, other than really, I suppose, the really difficult part of these conversations with the divorce, and that's when it becomes about personal safety and finance, and they're usually all in the mix, aren't they? So tell us what some of your tips are for people out there in terms of identifying, perhaps, or using their intuition to pick up on the radar that someone isn't the right person for them. What are some of the tips that you could give us today?
Oh, wow. We haven't got enough hours in the day for my list. Okay. So I have this little trick. And what I'll do, I'll just tell you a little story about my ex, which was the reason I ended up leaving the country in the first place to come to Australia. So I was single. I was on a girls' night out dancing, and I met this man on the dance floor, and he was so full of life, so full of confidence, tall, dark, handsome, ticked every box in my dreams a woman could tick. Like, what? I was like drooling. And, you know, he was living it large and coming up to me. And I recall that first moment. I mean, I loved watching him. He was just so charismatic. And I elbowed him, like, I don't think so, sunshine. You know, and I was very, like, I was aware that, you know, that would be, it was above my league in my head, okay? That's where I felt, like, way out my league, too confident, too beautiful, and the rest of it. So that was that. A month later, exactly the same place, and when you hear of synchronicity, this was a moment. He was there again, and again, dancing, large, full of life, full of everything that you would want in a man. And again, we had this instant connection. And he was dancing next to me on the dance floor. And he was like, I'm going to marry you one day. And I was like, who do you think you are? You know? But I added him on Facebook. I didn't give him my number. I added on Facebook, said, oh, well, maybe see you later. So I didn't. Me and my friend carried on with our night. And the next morning came and I had a message off him. So during that next week, we spoke a lot, and we had a date on the Friday, okay? So we had this date, and I'm not joking, we was in a very, very busy place. I met him with my friends, and he had his friends, and as soon as he walked into that building, I just felt alive. I just saw him, and I was like, wow. And he came up to me, and he gave me the biggest kiss. Like, it was like a movie scene. It was so phenomenal. It was oh, fireworks. And I just melted. And he said, and you said you're single. I was like, yes. He went, well, you're not anymore. And I was like, wow. But let me tell you, that ended up the worst relationship of my entire life. It is in my book. I ended up suicidal. I tried to take my own life because of this man. And there's lots of things I tried to help him, always being the healer, always seeing the best in people. I wanted to only believe the best part of him was, you know, and that the monster in him was going to go, we'll work through it, you know, because this part of you that I love. So to me, I already knew from that very first impression, my intuition had already told me, elbow, no. and I ignored it, which almost took my life. So my little tip that I do now is, and I actually did this with two people yesterday, a man and a woman actually. Think of something or somebody in your life, stand yourself there, take a deep breath, hold your hands on your heart, think of a situation or a person as you're stood up. You become your own pendulum. And how does your heart feel about that? Think of nothing else as you're taking it in. If your heart is fluttering and you're moving forwards, that is your good. You're okay. You're happy with that. If your heart's feeling a little heavy or cloudy and you're tending to lean backwards, that's not good for you. That's your body. That's your intuition. That's yourself telling you, move away. That is just one very powerful little listen to yourself strategy. Mm-hmm. And it works. I had a massive breakthrough yesterday with a guy. I don't normally work with guys, but we was having this conversation and he was in tears, actually. He was in tears. He was like, how did you know? I'm like, because you just told me. Well, I didn't say anything. I went, no, you didn't, but you did in your actions. You brought it out yourself with our conversation. And he's like, wow. And I will be doing sessions with him because, yes. Like I say, I know it's not my niche, but I'm happy. If I believe I'm the right fit for someone, I'll work with them. If I'm not, then that doesn't matter. There's somebody for everybody, you know? So I hope that helps answer that question.
Yeah, so it sounds to me like perhaps that you allow the relationship to move too quickly at the beginning too. So
my last relationship?
No, this particular one. The man.
The that, one that I had.
The officer and the gentleman to you, yes. Do you think that relationship moved extremely quickly? It sounded to me like it might have.
All of mine did. All of mine did. Yeah, I was searching for love in the wrong places. I know where to find it now. I have found it since. I know where to find it now. But at the time, it was just, I had this, yearning desire to be loved by someone. At the end of the day, I just needed to love myself. And that's all it was. And I didn't know that.
It's a basic
powerful journey.
It's a basic human connection, isn't it? That people want to be loved and they want to love in return. And they sometimes mix that up with wanting something or needing it. And then the issues that happen there. So the more people hear about other people's experiences, the better they are informed to make deeper choices. And think about
absolutely. I mean, how do you know if you can work with somebody or you can relate to somebody if you don't know their story? Mm. How do you know that they're going to understand you if you don't know what they've been through? So when you say about you do your talks and you do your teaching people how to speak on stage and publicly and things, that is amazing because people need to be heard. People need to be heard because how can anybody know if you don't talk and tell them? You know, you've taught me so much in such a little amount of time, and I'm grateful for that because I haven't always been able to tell my story, and I'm still learning to tell my story. So thank you. Oh, thank you for other people like you also. And me now, you know, thank you for people that become brave and get courageous and think, you know what, I want to impact someone's lives. I want to inspire someone to make the right choices. I want to inspire someone to love themselves enough to be able to place boundaries that they didn't have before because they didn't know. You know, I want to make somebody feel good within their own skin.
And that's important too. As I tell my clients, so many people in the world struggle with singing and they think they're not good enough, where everyone has a voice, everyone can sing, and speaking publicly. There you go. Hang around with me and you'll sing a lot. it does come down to that self-esteem. It does come down to that confidence. But it goes one step further, and it's, as you said, knowing yourself or knowing your self-identity who you really are. And a lot of people jump into business and don't know that. They really don't know who they are. And that's the difference, isn't it? If you can help people work out their own identity, they can help themselves first before they help others. We see a lot of people in business who don't get that. They don't get that at all. And they think because they've been burnt, they can help others. They're an expert. And it's a dangerous play, a dangerous game to play, to not know and understand yourself, warts and all. And that's really important. So how did you know that you wanted to transform other women's lives? At what point did you make that decision?
Oh, do you know, Tracy, unknowingly to me, I've always done it. I didn't realise I was doing it. When I was in England, I was a mum very young first, okay? So I decided once the children were older, I went to college or TAFE or whatever adult education units you call them, wherever you live. And I decided that I was going to do holistic therapies, which is where I first studied, because I am a holistic therapist. And to me, that was my first step in a way of making people feel good, making people feel better, okay? But while I went through my second divorce, which was when I was doing all these trainings, I needed to work as well to help keep my home and a roof over my children's head. So I went and took a job as a care worker. I thought, oh, yeah, I can do that. It's easy. I've done it all my life, you know, looking after my siblings and then my children. And wow, what a career that was for me. I know it's another topic, but my God, it filled my heart meeting these older people who were so wise and, you know, and just realizing that there were so many different people out there that needed help on different levels. And so I started off as a carer, then I progressed naturally to be a senior, to be a coordinator, then a care manager. And I had all this stuff under me and I was like, how did I get here? And it's because I had this ability to connect with people, see the best in people again. And I had a care team that were equally as able to do higher jobs that didn't see it in themselves. And I was nurturing them and helping them get into a position they never saw themselves capable of. And I thought, when I moved over here and started to do my own journey, and I was teaching to be a coach before I could coach myself, even though I'd always done it, and I thought, would I do it anyway? I've always done it anyway. And then through my own work, I realised, well, I might as well do this as a profession because I just naturally do it. So, you know, I don't know if I had one defining moment to say that I want to transform people's lives. Well, actually, I do have a defining moment. It was when I had an epiphany, actually. I had a experience. It was, I'm 52, so 2 years ago, I was already doing some coaching myself. I was being coached and I was doing a lot of self-development work, a lot. I've been doing a lot in the last 5 years. But I woke up, so 3 nights before my birthday, I had an elephant come to me in my dreams. And this elephant, I didn't know what it was at the time. I now know it's Ganesh. For anybody who knows, he's a deity. But I didn't know who he was or anything. I just sit here prepared. And on the eve, this was for 3 nights, and on the eve, I had this sense that my grandma was with me. I could smell her. And then there was one of my aunties that had all passed, and a man who my auntie had a relationship with when I was very little that I don't know why he appeared, but for some reason, I don't know the relevance to this day, but they appeared. And then I had this big vision of me being stood on stage with a book in my hand, talking to all these women and that about my life and how I was going to inspire and impact. And I was like, excuse my language, but in this dream, I'm like, you know, I don't think so, darling. We don't do things like that where we come from, you know. And I kind of let that go. And then I went to a place called Crystal Castle, which is in New South Wales. And they have this big amethyst cave, which you can go meditate in. And I wanted to do something special on my birthday. So I booked this and a friend had driven me because I just had a hysterectomy, so I couldn't drive. So it was very special. So I was in this cave and I swear I've never experienced anything like this in my life. I know in the quantum physics, you know, time is irrelevant and all this lot. And I was there and I swear everybody I have ever come across, good and bad, in my life came to me. Everybody. And I was overwhelmed. And then this Ganesh and then two spirits and then this other entity. And then that was it. I woke up and it was like something in me changed. I got out that cave and I cried and I cried and I cried. And I was like, whoa. And it's never happened to me since. But I was like, wow. And then things started happening. Everything was just rolling on. I'd signed up to write a book. I'd signed up to do spiritual life coaching. I'd signed up to have a spiritual teacher to help me with my own inner child. I have now qualified since to do all these things myself because the impact, I know the value of all this put together. I know how it heals. And I had to heal myself first before I could heal anybody else, truly. So this is just like, wow, you know, I was like, so that to me was my turning point, I believe. Well, one of many, the last big, huge turning point for me. I know it sounds heavy, but it was what happened to me. I can't hide that. That's my truth, you know, and I can't explain it. I just have to trust it and go with it.
So what challenges have you overcome as a business person, as an entrepreneur, following that decision?
Me. I've been my biggest obstacle. I've been my biggest challenge. I've tried rejecting things. I found out every excuse under the sun not to do things. What I found, do you know, for me, apart from technology, because I'm a people person, I like to touch, feel, I'm a hugger, you know. I love the personal energy. I thrive off people. So going online was huge for me. It was huge. How can I work with people? I couldn't get my head on how I could still have that connection. Look, I've now learned you can, but at first that transition was incredible for me. I couldn't work out how I could make that work for me. And I knew I was given a challenge to do a live post on Facebook, and I was like, oh, I used to struggle picking the phone up. I don't know how I'm going to do this. So I had to say, look, just do 30 seconds. If you do up to 3 minutes, do up to 3 minutes. This was my coaches trying to teach me to move forward with technology. And I remember I was walking and I stopped myself. Oh, five, six times. I couldn't do it. I was like, no, I can't do it. And I was getting so anxious and so uptight. And I was like trying to take breaths. And I just pressed the live button. And I don't know why I just waffled. And I just said whatever came out my mouth. And I come up and I cried for 3 hours. Seriously, I cried. I had such a relief. So I was like, what am I doing? I'm going to sound like an idiot. I look stupid and blah, blah, blah. And I criticized myself on every level possible. And you know what? The crying got less, but I didn't stop doing it. Because how can I get someone else to do something if I'm not going to do it myself? It was a big challenge for me. And I will still set myself challenges, you know, because I want women to set out the comfort zone. I want them to feel what they haven't felt before. And how can I ask somebody to do that if I'm not prepared to do it myself, you know? And it was hard. It was bloody hard. I struggled. So me and technology were a big, big hurdle for us in my business. Big hurdle.
I hear that a lot for a lot of people, that technology, you're either a tech nerd or you're not. And, you know, it is not usually the person who does it all. It's usually something, isn't it, within a business, something, whether it's sales or marketing or speaking, but connecting and speaking and being yourself is all really one, isn't it? And that's it's a big issue. Putting yourself out there on a live Facebook video is very confronting for a lot of people until they get used to hearing their own voice and they're used to talking to a screen, which is actually themselves looking back at themselves. And that's a huge hurdle. And you've mentioned that really well. What is your proudest business accomplishment then? So you've told us your crying moments, and I hope you're not going to cry for 3 hours when you finish here with me today. I hope that you're going to be on the phone and go, wow, that was so much fun. Yeah, I know you'll be fine. But tell me, what is your proudest business
moment? I think that, again, was my biggest, proudest business. And I swear, just transitioning from people to computers, I know the person's still there, but that was, honestly, that has been the biggest challenge. Like I say, I love people, you know, and I love to touch. I know the COVID's been a nightmare for many of us. It's like, you know, the transitioning from the hands-on to just the talk and the facing and look, challenge it again. I'm proud that I have overcome so many limiting beliefs, so many obstacles. Again, I've got lists as long as my arm. I've had to be brave at times. I don't want to be brave. You know, I've wanted to curl up and not turn up sometimes. And there's been times I haven't, but then I've learned to be okay with that. Yeah. So, you know, I'm just proud that I'm now good enough in myself, or I feel that I am now connecting correctly. I'm connecting to the right people. I'm allowing people to come through and let me do what I need to do with them, because I don't do anything for anybody. I'm just here. I'm here to nurture, to nurture you out, you know, to drag you out if I have to. It's all about, you know, it's teamwork, definite teamwork. And the book, my goodness, I mean, nobody I knew before becoming an author myself had ever written a book. Nobody. And now I have so many author friends, it's ridiculous. And I'm proud. I'm so, I know. And I'm just so proud. And that is me, like, I'm just so proud of allowing myself to just be there and be present and just take what comes, you know, step up. Yeah, I'm proud of my journey.
And that's really good. You're on the back of an expo. So you spent all day yesterday at an expo and you would have been touting your book. So tell me, what were the people who visited your store? What were the sorts of things they were interested in? And more importantly, how can our listeners find you if they want to connect with you?
Okay, so yesterday, you can connect with me on my website or email or phone, depending on the country you're in. My website, if you just put my name, zeldamarsh.com.au, you can also get to it by putting in Manifest Merriment. And that's sometimes a bit of a mouthful for people, but Manifest Merriment is all about creating happiness. That's where the title again came through, that same epiphany. It's really strange how I've stuck with it. And any of those formats. I am on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, so I can be easily found. There's not many Zelda Marshes around. And so the questions, I found a lot of people related to the fact that they don't know who they are. That was the biggest breakthrough yesterday from talking with some of the ladies and one of the gents, because I do NLP work as well as inner child work. I found that a lot of women, it's just simple, they just don't know who they are anymore. They just don't. They forget that there is a them like I said earlier, yes, we have mum mode, yes, we have wife, whatever, daughter, cousin, sister, but what about me? Who am I? We don't put ourselves up there. You know, we're way down in the pecking order. And how can someone else love you if you don't love yourself? And that is a powerful realization. And a lot of us, like we were saying earlier, like when you said about you looking at yourself on the screen when you do a Facebook. Now, one of my, again, something I found very difficult early on in my journey was when I was told about the Louise Hay mirror work. Now, I get my clients to do this also. And I was like, yeah, of course I can look in the mirror. But I wasn't looking at myself. I was just looking at the image and yeah, you'll do for the day, you know, that was it. But to actually connect with yourself and be able to just look in that mirror and go, do you know what, Zelda? I love you. You're awesome. You're amazing. You have so much going for yourself. You're the only one of you. Of course you love yourself. Why wouldn't you? You're an amazing human being. And I want all my clients to feel like that. And yes, it brings tears. Yes, it brings resistance. And yes, we get there in the end, one step at a time.
I love it. Yeah. It's true, isn't it, that we have to get past that point. And looking in the mirror is a very powerful task I get a lot of my clients to do, because to speak to yourself in the mirror every day means to be very, very comfortable with yourself. And I don't know about you, but I was certainly brought up not to do that, not to look in the mirror, that you were self-centered, you were vain, so labeled so that don't get caught sitting in front of the mirror too much, don't get caught preening, checking what you look like, etc. Don't get caught with that, because you're there to serve, you're there to please others. And it took me a lot of years in my life to remove that tag of a mother or a principal or whatever job I had and just be me, Tracy Tully. Hence the reason I named this program Tracy Tully Talks, because I'm quite happy with my name, and I know the shift of changing my name when I got married was extremely, it was really disruptive for me. I didn't like it at all. And I did it because, you know, I felt I had to, I was conditioned, I had to please the husband, etc. And it was really archaic. Look back now, it's like, ooh, that's like going back into a village, isn't it, in the middle of the desert, that you've got to be tagged with someone else's name, your ownership.
Yeah. How do you think I feel? I've changed my name so many times. It's just become another norm. It's become another norm. But I had an interesting conversation about this yesterday with a lady who has been divorced 5 years. And she said, look, we've done all the financials, and I'm just like concentrating on the children. Like I said, that's what a lot of women do. And she wrote her name down for me to have a session with her further on. And she said, oh, yeah, it's still my married name. And I asked her why. And she stood there and looked at me like, I don't know. I said, so why are you holding on to him? And she was like, I don't know. And the conversation went deeper, of course. But, like, she never even thought about it. Like, she now wants to change it after our conversation, because she wants her own identity. She hadn't realised that just hanging on to the name, she was using the children as that excuse. But now she realises that, you know, she needs to be who she is. And the name holds so much stigma. She's connecting to him with that name. I mean, look, I've done it. I know I've held that. I've held that name. I've been that person. So I understand, you know, that's why I was able to express that to her. And she was like, wow, I never thought about that. So again, I know what you mean about the name. It holds so much for us.
And not necessarily in a positive way. But when you look at history and then you look at the DNA, it's and ancestry.com. So my mum bought me a kit with ancestry.com for my birthday, and and I'm looking at it, so tracing back now, she's really keen on tracing back on my father's side, because our father's passed, etc., and looking at all the different nationalities that built us up, and who knows what stories that we're going to be able to undo. And I often wonder that, you know, in 100 or 200 years' time, when everyone keeps their own names, how easy is that really going to be? It's got to be quite complex. And things are done for a reason. And I have no doubt that that's probably the reason in the old days originally to keep, you know, track of clans and families that were under the name, you know.
My downline are going to have fun tracing our upline, aren't they? Much to go through. Luckily, I've got very understanding children.
It's funny, isn't it? My grandmother, she was named Violet when she was born, and then she got to in her 80s and she said, "I don't like Violet. And I think I'll be called Vicky." And she changed her name. Everyone's like, "Vicky, couldn't you have gone and something a little bit more exciting?" But she was in her 80s, yeah. So it was that freedom.
Good on her.
I'm just going to do it. And I said, "Well, good on you." But she did. She changed it by deed poll. And so it meant something to her, just that one name. So name has a lot to do with it.
I've just had a thought, Tracy. You do realise in another, dare I say it, 20, 30 years' time, what are you going to do? Because everybody in your family seems to have this magic big thing that comes to them when they're like 80 and 90. I'm like, wow, where will you be? What is going to happen to you? Well, you know, it's just incredible. Wow.
I can tell you what my desire has been my whole life, and I'm really scared of running out of life and not doing it, but I've always wanted to be in a flying car, and not like the Jetsons or anything, but I always believed that would come in my time, to be able to jump in a car that hovers above the treetops and a flying car. Of course, they're around now, and we see them like the little, what are they called, those... Oh, I'm going to have a mind blank now. Those little things that they fly around with the cameras on them. What are they called? Drones.
Drones. Oh, yeah. Watch this space then. Watch this space.
I'm really hoping I get to do that. I want to be in a drone taxi. I want to be able to fly my own drone car. So that's where I want to be.
And I believe you will.
Yeah. Well, if it's possible, I will. And I think it's that I always strive for. Whatever it is that I want to do, I do my utmost to do it. And I think it's really important because it's about, you get one life, as you said, you get one life, and yeah, we all make mistakes and some really big, crevices there in the life story where you go to rock bottom. Some people don't come out from the rock bottom, and some will claw their way up like yourself and I and move on to the next hill or crevice or valley, whatever it is ahead of us. And that is life, isn't it? Life is no smooth.
I call them opportunities now. I've learned to call them opportunities. Yeah. When something like COVID, I know how horrible it's affected a lot of people, but I've seen it as one massive opportunity. Mm. It's made me do things I was holding myself back on. So it's grounded us. It's here to teach us. Everything is an opportunity if you allow it.
That's right. Now, we're going to run out of time soon. So I just like to
put you
in your book. So you do one-on-one coaching. You have your book. You have your website, which is Zelda Martin. I'm just going to spell that to all our listeners. That's Z-E-L-D-A, Zelda. Marsh, MARSH .com.au, and Zelda's here in Queensland in Australia. So what else do you offer? Do you offer group masterclasses or group coaching or only one-on-one?
No, I do a 6-week program. I do a 12-week program. And I'm actually currently this week hosting a 5-day challenge starting Monday for getting over your ex, because I believe I'm a bit of an expert there as well. Once people get to know me, they'll see I come out with all this quirky stuff, but it is all by the heart. So yeah, and one-on-ones. I try to do group because you got better support. And that, again, took me time to realise how effective group sessions were. because you help each other and you nurture each other. And there's been some amazing friendships that's been developed from these also. So yes, I do them. And also there's some online courses being created as we speak.
Yeah, and I think I'm the best, aren't I? Yeah.
All right, darling, you sure are.
I'll choose music. I'll dress you up with some wigs and all sorts of things. No. get back to the basics then. So you've got 12-week courses, 6-week courses, one-on-one and one-on-many coaching. And yep. All people have to do is get on your Facebook and see the 5-day challenge.
Yeah, they can see the 5-day challenge on my Facebook. And also, if they go on my website, you can book me in for a free 15-minute consultation call. And, you know, it's of no cost. We can have a little chat. If you feel that I'm the right person to help you and vice versa, because I won't work with people that I don't relate with or I don't feel like I can connect with. No offense, but, you know, there's somebody for everybody. So we'll have that chat. And if we feel like we can move on, then we move on. And I do offer payment plans for people that struggle, well, for anybody really, because sometimes, you know, especially with the way things are at the moment, I'm happy to take things as long as it takes just to help someone get where they need to be.
Sounds good to me. And to the listeners today, I actually met Zelda and I woke up in her house. I slept in her house one night and came in really, really late at night with a friend and who'd organised us to stay. And then I got to meet you in your own home. It's somewhere between the bedroom and the bathroom, I think, and we've connected and been mates ever since, haven't we? And it's been a good fun journey. And we're about to join up to do a workshop together, and that's going to be a lot of fun too. So we'll be able to talk about that later. But for our listeners today, we are going to run out of time shortly. So I did want to just remind you that Zelda's book is called Bounce Back Ability, Reclaim Your Power and Passion After Divorce. If you are in that place where you're a little bit stuck and or you're planning on divorcing or moving on in your life, so to speak, from a relationship, that you might like to have a look at this book. And it's published by Ultimate World Publishing. Our listeners can find that on Amazon.
Yeah, on my website.
Or your website. And how much is your
link straight to it?
Good. How much is your book, Zelda?
It's $29.99 plus postage and packaging, which I believe is $5. But that's Australian dollars, so I'm not sure how the conversion rate will be to wherever it's purchased from.
Okay. Well, I look forward to I've read your book, so I look forward to working with you in the future too, and we're going to have a lot of fun in our December workshop. I know that it's coming to Christmas. But I'd just like to take the opportunity to thank our listeners today for coming on board and joining us, and to welcome Zelda to Tracy Tully Talks today, and we know that you're going to enjoy your business in the future. But I'd just like to remind listeners that if you are interested in sponsoring Tracy Tully Talks, this show, and having your profile lifted and your presence lifted around the world, because there's a huge number of listeners, millions of listeners that will listen to this show today and through podcasts. So it's broken down to iHeart and Spotify, etc. So your presence has quite a wide field. So I encourage you, if you would like to come and join me and you'd like to sponsor this program in terms of your business, if you are one of those people that are too afraid, are reluctant to speak live like this, then I'm quite happy to do that for you. So once again, you can find me on my website, tracytully.com, and you'll really enjoy it too. It's a good website. We're still just tweaking it, as we will always tweak it, because that's change. And so I'd like to thank you very much. So thanks for listening to another 60 minutes of inspiring talks on Tracy Tully Talks, brought to you by bbsradio.com. You can find us on Spotify, and you can also find us on iHeartRadio. So enjoy your week, And it's been wonderful speaking to you. We tune in every Thursday at now 11 a.m. Brisbane time here in Australia. So I wish you all the very best today. And don't forget to pop into my website, www.bbsradio.com/tracytully.com. Have a great day, and I'll speak to you next week. All the best. Thank you. Thanks for listening to another 60 minutes of inspiring talking points on Tracy Tully Talks, brought to you by bbsradio.com. Tune in every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Australian time, AEST, and 5 p.m. PT time in America. Leave me a message on my website at www.bbsradio.com/Tracy Tully Talks. If you're interested in lifting the profile, presence, and profit of your business, sponsorship opportunities are available. Until next Thursday, it's goodbye from me.